Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Good evening.
Good evening again, and welcome to the city.
Good evening.
And welcome to the City of Fairburn Council meeting. Today is October the 25th, 2021. Good to see everybody. It looks like we have how many folks on? It looks like we have about 35 folks online. So good evening to everyone online this evening. Welcome to the council meeting. I will be calling the roll this afternoon because the first item on the agenda is the appointment of our temporary city clerk. Our clerk has been out ill for the last couple of weeks, and so we needed to bring in a temporary clerk. Everybody knows Ms. Moss, and she's so gracious to come back and help us out until Ms. Ray returns. We're hoping Ms. Ray will be back in the office either later this week or sometime next week. With that being said, I will now call the roll. The meeting is now in session. The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Pallon.
Present.
The Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
And Madam, let the records also reflect that the Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood is not with us this evening. He has a family emergency. There are five council members on, so we do have a quorum. The invocation this evening will be donned by Apostle Danita Jones of In His Great Name Ministries. Apostle Jones, you have the floor.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Heavenly Father, we come this evening, Lord God, lifting up your name, Lord God, praising you, Lord God, because you are the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we just ask tonight, Lord God, as the people have gathered together, Lord God, to do business in the city of Fairburn, Lord God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that we be done decently and in order. Father, we pray right now as the city is involving, Lord God, we pray right now that you would keep your hands upon it. Father, we ask right now in the name of your precious son, Jesus the Christ, Lord God, that you will continue, Lord God, to direct us in ways, Lord God, that only you can direct us, Lord God. Father, we pray right now, Lord God, every wrong will be turned to right, Lord God. We pray right now that every undoing, Lord God, that is not of you, Lord God, will be corrected. Lord God, we just pray right now that the men and women that you have chosen, Lord God, to set before us, Lord God, to carry out the laws, to make the policy, Lord God, will hear from you first. We thank you in advance, Lord God, and we turn everything over to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Apostle Jones.
You're welcome, Mayor.
The next item on the agenda is adoption of the City Council minutes. I want to make Council aware that we do not have the October the 11th, 2021 executive session minutes. They will come before you on November the 8th. They were not in your packet because our clerk was out ill, and those minutes would have to be prepared by her. The first item under the agenda is the October the 11th, 2021 City Council meeting minutes. Council members, you received copies of those minutes. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve the October the 11th, 2021 City Council minutes?
Mayor Pro Tem Heath, so moved.
The motion has been made by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
It has been properly seconded by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0. The next item on the agenda will be the adoption of the City Council agenda for this evening. We have no discussion items. We will have public comments. And The first item on the regular agenda will be from the office of the mayor, and that's the appointment of the temporary city clerk. For mayor and council to approve the appointment of Ms. Shana Moss as the temporary city clerk for the city of Fairburn from October the 13th, 2021 to November the 13th, 2021. The next item is planning and zoning. For mayor and council to approve the Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway final plat. Utilities department is the next one for mayor and council to approve task order number 144 with integrated science and engineering for the 2021-2022 impaired water sampling of Whitewater Creek and Trickum Creek in the amount of $13,100. The next is an item also from the utility department for mayor and council to approve task order number 145 with integrated science and engineering for the 2021-2022 NPDES phase one compliance activities in the amount of $22,870. The next item is also on the agenda is under community development, Mr. Lester Thompson from mayor and council to approve the change order number 4 for the downtown LCI streetscape project for an amount of $12,972. The next item, which is item number 6, is also community development, Mr. Thompson, for mayor and council to approve change order number 6 on the downtown, for change order number five for the downtown LCI streetscape project for an amount of $47,600. The next item is community development. Ms. Celeste Thompson is for mayor and council to approve change order number 6 on the downtown LCI streetscape project for the amount of $148,987.45. The last item on the agenda for tonight is the office of Turner Ross and Jermaine, our city attorneys. And that will be presented by Meredith Jermaine and not City Attorney Randy Turner for mayor and council to discuss and consider the adoption of the ordinance to continue city mask mandate in response to COVID-19 transmission data. We do not have an executive session scheduled for tonight. Council member, you've heard the items on the agenda for this council meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
So move, Councilman Whitmore.
The motion has been made by Councilman Whitmore to approve. Is there a second?
Mayor Pro Tem Heath, second.
It has been properly seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Alex Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0. Okay, we're going to go back to first item on the agenda for tonight, and that's going to be under public comments. Ms. Abernathy, I think you pulled 2 public comments for tonight, or 3.
Yes, ma'am. There are 3 public comments for this evening.
Okay. We have public comments for this evening. Each speaker will be limited to 3 minutes. After your 3 minutes, your mics will be muted. Ms. Abernathy, would you call the first speaker for me, please?
Yes, ma'am. The first speaker is a Mr. Samuel Spears.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
It's Ms. Samuel Fears. I live in Fairburn. And I was just like to make a public comment on the Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway final plat vote tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm asking that the city council vote no in the subdividing of the plat for the 3 tracks.
Okay. Was that the end of your comments, Ms. Fears?
I have one other comment. I'm not sure if it is the right platform for this, but there are several large utility poles that are located on exit, off the exit of 61. I've sent requests to the city of Fairburn. I've also spoken with DOT, and no one seems to know who owns the poles, the very large poles. So I would just like for the city to take on a task to have those removed. They've been there probably about a year, if not more.
You said exit 61?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. When you're coming off the exit, and I know that someone sees them because they keep cutting around them.
Okay.
And there was another one when you're getting on the exit. I'm not sure if it's still there.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll have utility look at it tomorrow.
Okay, thank you so much.
And thank you, Ms. Fears.
Mm-hmm. Madam Mayor, the second public comment is from a Mr. Warren Tillery.
Okay, Mr. Tillery, you have the mic.
Good evening, and thank you, Mayor. My name is Warren Tillery. I'm an attorney with Smith Welch, Webb & White. We represent Trinity Fairburn LLC, who is the applicant of the subdivision plat that you'll be voting on later. This is for the Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway. I'd like to sort of just address briefly the background of it and hopefully clear up any misconceptions there may have been previously. The plat approval is basically just the device that would allow for my client to buy one of the three tracts. There is a separate process for land use determinations and for specifically site development for the other two tracts. The only purpose of this is basically so that the overall tract itself can be subdivided off, and my client doesn't have any, is not in any way tied to the other two tracks. Those remain with the owner. The staff has recommended approval. The Planning and Zoning Commission has also recommended approval. We likewise request that you, Mayor and Council, tonight approve the final plat. And then we have provided a letter that basically memorializes our constitutional objections, and that's something I'm sure everyone here is familiar with in the zoning context. It's not meant to be as lawyerly sounding as it is, but the reason that it's there is similar to those other types of situations where we've got to place council on notice of any objections we have in the event that the plat doesn't get approved. So that was basically the only purpose for the notice. I'm sure if y'all have sat through other types of rezoning and land use stuff, it doesn't say anything that's really different from that, but a denial of this plat would be an infringement of the owner and my client as the applicant's property rights. So with that, we have an engineer here. If there are questions, I understand this is a little bit different format, but we do have him available, and we would just ask that you all approve the final plat.
Okay, thank you, Attorney Tillery. Thank you so much.
Madam Mayor, that concludes the public comments. There are no additional registered people commenting this evening.
Okay, thank you so much, Ms. Abernathy. Okay, council members, we're ready for the first item on the agenda tonight, and it's from the office of the mayor, and it's the appointment of our temporary city clerk for mayor and council to approve the appointment of Ms. Channa Moss as the temporary city clerk for the city of Fairburn from October the 13th, 2021 to November the 13th, 2021. That November the 13th is an approximate date. I sent each of you all an email, not giving you specifics, but asking you to call or email me if you had any questions. So I'm asking, we have documents that must be signed. And so we have to have a open records that have to go out and other different documents. So I'm asking that council approve the appointments of Ms. Moss as our temporary city clerk that started October the 13th. And through November the 13th, but I think that it will probably end before then. Because I got a notice today that Ms. Ray may be back at work either this week or the first of next week. Are there any questions?
Yes, Mayor, this is Councilwoman Davis.
Yes.
I have some questions and I have some concerns. Let's kind of deal with some of the clarity that I need. In reference to the appointed time, October the 13th to November the 13th. That's on a Saturday. The 13th is on a Saturday. So I don't know if that date, it should be the 13th. Also, in reference to, I guess, the formality of this is, how can we do an appointment with that date of October the 13th? It just seems like we're not making the appointment, that we're just going through a formality, because today is the 25th of October.
Yes.
So could we not have had a special call meeting for this at this time to do this, so it would actually be an appointment by the council and not just a formality today on the 25th of October?
Well, let me tell you, I had a conversation with the city attorney concerning what we needed to do at this particular time. Miss Ray, who's our city clerk, was with us on the 11th, which was our last council meeting. She was with us on the 12th, and so she went out sick the evening of the 12th, and so had a conversation with the city attorney, and because we have to get out certain documents that have to go out, like I said, open records and other documents that I cannot sign, that must be signed by a clerk. That was a suggestion from the city attorney. Now, the 13th is the day that she actually was not here. So we picked up the 13th date because she actually Ms. Ray was actually out officially on the 13th. So she's been out about 8 days.
Okay, but the end date on, I'm sorry.
And I guess we went from the 13th to the 13th to try to give a 1 month period of time there.
Okay.
But we're in a stage right now where we have to get open records out, and they have to go out from our clerk here in the city or another clerk someplace else that's virtual. And so Ms. Moss agreed to help us out, and she has. For the last week, we've had several documents that had to go out as far as open records, because they come in every day. So that's how we chose the 13th, because that was the first day that Ms. Ray was out sick.
I was actually referring to November 13th, which is a Saturday. But you said you wanted to do a month.
I was trying to do a 30-day. Okay. But, I mean, we can do, I think the date is going to change because, like I said, I got a notice from Ms. Ray today that she may be back this week. So I'm really just trying to give us time in case she's not back before the next council meeting, that we have somebody here, because we had to actually be online with Ms. Moss to get the documents and all of this together for the meeting tonight, because we haven't had a clerk in the office.
Okay, I have a couple of other questions too. So the other thing was a concern that we're in the middle of an election right now, which is really critical. We had a little snafu in the beginning of the election, which was, to me, major, but it worked out. I mean, who will be over there monitoring the polls? Usually the city clerk will go over there every day, either in the mornings or the afternoons or whatever, and monitor the polls to see if there are how many provisional ballots for that day, or if there were any issues for that day, because we did have an issue at the beginning. So how are we handling that if we bring in, and Ms. Moss is wonderful. I mean, she is absolutely wonderful, and we appreciate her stepping in when we really need her in times of emergencies. But how can that be handled when we are looking at bringing in a virtual city clerk to, you know, back up Ms. Ray.
Well, let me just say this, Ms. Davis. You all tell me how we're going to do it, because we don't have anyone else. And as far as us having someone to go over to the voting and find out what's going on over there every day, it's not really the clerk's job to do that. They actually just go do that, but because we pay Fulton County to maintain and run our elections. So really the election process is really out of our hands. Now, I've had several conversations with Richard Barron, who is over the election division. In fact, probably once every other day. And I've asked him that if anything is going on, we having any issues over there. We had an issue the other day. They called because someone had signs outside that should not have been out there. And we just actually just sent code enforcement over there and moved the signs. So I'm looking at Mrs. Ray possibly being back in the office this week. Early voting ends this week. And so with an onyx, people don't know when they're going to get sick. And there's really nothing else I can do as the mayor of the city other than to get somebody in here that can help us as much as we possibly can. I talked to the mayor of Union City, and if we got in a crunch, his clerk is more than willing to come down and assist us with issues that we may have, but that's just a backup. So, you know, there's nothing else I can do at this point but to get Ms. Moss in here to help us with what we need to get done at this particular time. Now, like I said, I'm expecting her to be back at work, hopefully this week. And I think it will be this week. So when the election actually occurs on Tuesday of next week, I think that she will be back. I think that she will be back here. So, and she can take care of the other documents that have to be done. I think her doctor's releasing her on tomorrow or Wednesday. And that's my prayer, is that she will be back.
Okay. One other question, just in hindsight, was it ever a chance for Ms. Ray to work from home to do some of this, to just have the continuity of her being involved in what's going on in the city?
Miss Ray was sick. That's, and you know, and you know, I sent an email out and I said, if anybody needed to talk to me about it, you could call me and I would explain to you what the situation is. But Miss Ray is not at that time last week and most of the first of the week before last, and especially last week, in any condition to do any work from home.
Okay, so she didn't request to work from home at all? Did she request to work from home?
When she first went out on the 13th, Ms. Ray got really sick the next day. Ms. Ray couldn't do anything.
Okay.
So that was no working from home.
Okay.
So you can't work from home and be on sick leave too. Okay, you can't do both of them.
Okay.
You can't do both. You can't work from home and still be on sick leave. And so, you know, I gave council an opportunity to ask me the private questions, and no one called, no one emailed me to ask me what was what. And I'll be more than happy to tell you what was what and the reason why we've taken the position that we've taken. You know, and I did talk to her. Well, she emailed me today. So she's doing much better. She went to the doctor today and I am expecting her to be back at work within the next couple of days.
Okay. Well, one more thing, Mayor. The reason I didn't contact you. I had made a request of Miss Ray probably the first day that she was out and not knowing she was out. And doing that back and forth with emailing and texting you. I asked when she would be back because it was a simple request, and would she be back next Thursday? And she said no. And she informed me what the situation was. So I actually called her on the phone and spoke with her in reference to what was going on. So that's why I didn't call you and everything. Okay, thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome.
Mayor, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I too am thankful that Ms. Moss had the ability to step in yet again on behalf of the city of Fairburn. And this now has happened to us twice within 6 months. And so I want to register and ask that we revisit the budget and that we reinstitute an assistant city clerk. We need that skill and expertise. That position is too critical in the operation of the city. That person has many legal responsibilities, and we can't continue to afford, not having to find someone to step in, because we're short of a city clerk. We need to, as we've done in the past, we need to groom an individual so that they are able to step in so that we do not miss a beat in this. I appreciate Ms. Moss and her ability to step in, but we can't count on her always being able to step in for us. And so we've had this experience now, quite frankly, too many times. And now we need to do something a lot more proactive internally to ensure that we have the skill sets as backup when the city clerk or any of the other positions are absent.
And I agree. And when we did the budget this year, council was within their rights to ask for an assistant city clerk to be placed in the budget. And I am in total agreement that we need to have somebody that can step in when the clerk is sick or the clerk is out of the office, because these things do happen. And sickness is not something that's planned. It just happens. So this is what happened here. So this is what I came up with to take us through this critical part right now. And so I'm asking council to approve her so that we can get documents out of here. I got documents sitting here right now that needs to go out. I got a couple of open records that needs to go out. And so that's my request to council tonight. And I will take Councilwoman Portis Jones. You made a sound suggestion, and it's something that we need to look at.
Yes. And so thank you. I appreciate it. And the fact that it's happened so frequently now within the last 6 months speaks to the criticalness of this issue. So I look forward to hearing from you regarding that. Ms. Councilwoman Davis asked the question about how Ms. Moss will work virtually. What was your answer to that question? How does she do this business virtually?
We send her the open records request. She's familiar with Just FOIA because all open records come through Just FOIA. She disseminates, because she's worked here before, she disseminates them to the correct departments, and she follows up on those. If we have any kind of emails that I cannot answer, they're forwarded to her. And because she's worked here and she worked here for so long, she's still in tune to who these people are, and she can get us back on track. And so we haven't had any issues with her assisting us virtually. In fact, she's been a big help. I had 3 open records come in today, and she'll get those later tonight or first thing tomorrow morning. And they'll probably be out in the next couple of days. So she's done the work. And so, it's been a big help for us.
That is great news. The physical presence of the city clerk is not required.
I think it's required, but you can get the most critical work done without that person actually being here. And that's what we're doing now. The most critical things that we need to get done, we're getting it done now. You know, because I don't need to go before the Ethics Commission because we didn't do an open records or something like that, or a document, we got a lawsuit in and that lawsuit wasn't scanned by a clerk and it goes to the attorney. So those are the things that she can do. And it comes from the clerk.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions?
Let me make a suggestion, if I might. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Pallett.
Yeah, if Dean is coming back in the next several days, we don't know that to be a fact, but that's what I'm hearing. I think we still need someone to take care of what is necessary to be done. But should we not modify these dates so that it reflects Dina being back up to full speed and then taking the job back full time and handling it from there? That's all I'm suggesting, you know?
I mean, we can modify the dates. That's why I had down. I was trying to, if Ms. Ray comes back this week, she's probably going to need some help. So I was thinking maybe she could help her a couple of days to get her back situated on her feet. If not, we can modify the dates. That's not all I'm saying.
I'm not suggesting that. I mean, Shanna's a wonderful, you know, hi, Shanna, how are you? Good to see you. Good to have you back. But let's take this sort of a day at a time and see what we need so we can move forward effectively. That's all.
Okay, so do you want it to say, because we need to start it on October the 13th, so do you want it to say until our permanent clerk returns to the office within 5 days afterwards? How do you want it to go? I don't know. Tell me.
Something like that. I don't know how other people feel about it, but I think that's what we need to do. So something in that area. Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Yeah. Mayor, if Ms. Ray is coming back on Wednesday.
I didn't say Wednesday.
Well, I spoke with Ms. I called Ms. Ray today out of concern for her health. And I had a conversation with her, letting her know that I've been concerned about her and her family during this time. And surprisingly, she said to me that she would be back this Wednesday of this week, October 27th, I think that is.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was surprised and excited.
Okay, so do you want this to say the 27th, or do you want it to say the 29th, or do you want, I mean, what do you want it to say? You know, counsel, I just need directions.
Okay, all right. I would, this will be my suggestion until at least November the 3rd, I would say until November the 3rd. I don't know what other council members' thoughts are on it.
Council members, the floor is still open. What is your end date?
Mayor Pro Tem Heath, I would think that at least until she returned, or either Ms. Ray I'm talking about, or even maybe a couple of days after she returned in case she just needs help to get caught up on something. But I wouldn't think the 13th of next month would be what we need to do.
Okay, so does council want to change November 13th to November the 3rd? Or November the 4th? Or November the 5th? Which date would you like?
I would propose through the end of the week, whatever Friday is. Is that November 5th?
You mean the
20th? Yeah, November 5th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, November 5th.
Yes. I'm in agreement with that. November 5th has been good. It's a complete week. Yeah.
Okay. Any other council members you want to, Mr. Whitmore, you're on. I've heard from Mr. Pallon, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. Is there any, you have any comments?
I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with November 5th. And, you know, again, okay. I think like was already forestated, when she comes back, if she still needs more time to catch up and get reacclimated, then we can make that adjustment if it needs to be. But until she comes back and she starts performing her duties, we don't know how she's going to react physically. So that's why I thought that the 13th was fine. And then that date could be modified less or more if needed. But I'm fine with the 5th. It could still be modified again if need be.
Okay. So, Council, the appointment of the temporary city clerk is to approve the appointment of Ms. Chana Moss as the temporary city clerk for the city from October the 13th till November the 5th, 2021. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion has been made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Seconded, Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0. It has been changed to November the 5th. I'll make sure the records reflect that appointment. Okay, the next item on the agenda is planning and zoning for mayor and council to approve. Well, no, I don't have to do this now. Ms. Moss, are you on the line?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Okay, would you take the next agenda item for me, please?
Certainly. Agenda item 2, planning and zoning, Ms. Tarika Pete. For mayor and council to approve the Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway final plat.
Thank you, Ms. Moss. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening.
Tonight you have before you the Highway 74 Meadow Glen Parkway final plat. The applicant Forsyth Group is requesting to subdivide a 9.511 acre parcel at the intersection of Highway 74, Sonoya Road, and Meadow Glen Parkway into 3 tracks. The tracks are subdivided as follows: track number 1, 5.275 acres, track number 2, 2.953 acres, and track number 3, 1.283 acres. The plat meets the city subdivision regulations and code of ordinances, such as the minimum lot size and lot frontage, setbacks, and buffer standards. The Planning and Zoning Commission unanimously approved the plat on Tuesday, September 7th, 2021. Staff's recommendation is for the mayor and council to approve the Highway 74 Meadow Glen Parkway final plat, which will allow the applicant to record the plat with Fulton County Superior Court.
Okay, council members, you've heard Ms. Peaks with her agenda item to approve the Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway final plat. Are there any questions or are there any comments concerning agenda item number 2?
Yeah, this is Councilman Palin.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm thinking that this all seems just a bit quick somehow, and I'm thinking that perhaps we need to give some thought to having further discussion about this before we move forward with this. Do we have to table it per se? I don't know what we need to do, but I think there's more discussion necessary. And given the fact that we've gone through a process with the folks out at Durham Lakes as well, I think we need to provide the same opportunity for the folks who live in Meadow Glen to express themselves and go from there. And I'm just wondering how other people feel about this and if it's worth some additional conversation before we cast a vote on this.
Ms. Peaks.
Yes, ma'am.
Was this item tabled for 30 days? Has it been tabled before? I can't remember. I think it has.
Yes, it was the September 23rd City Council meeting. It was tabled to October 25th.
Okay, is Ms. Jermaine on the line, Meredith?
Yes, Mayor.
Oh, hi, Meredith. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Mayor?
Good. Did you hear the suggestion that Councilman Pat Palin just made?
Yes.
Okay. Could you address that, please?
I know it was, you said that it was previously tabled.
Yes. In September, I believe. And I think that's what Mr. Palin is asking for again.
I mean, if that wants to go up for a vote, I believe it can be made and you can attempt to table it again if a motion is made to do that and it's seconded and approved. If that is what Mayor and Council want to do tonight.
Okay. That was one of the suggestions that was made by Councilman Pat Palin. Does any other council members have any other suggestions or any other comments on this Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway final plat?
Yes, Mayor.
Yes, Councilwoman
Mayor. Davis.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with Councilman Palin. Because I think some more discussion needs to take place. I listened to Attorney Tillery from the law firm for his client, Trinity Fairburn LLC. And I would really like an opportunity, because I have some questions for the Attorney Tillery. I did some research on Trinity Fairburn, their applicant, and I noticed that Mr. Tillery's law firm was a registered agent for the LLC. And I did some further discussion. So before I come to a conclusion, I need to know what connection the law firm, are there any officers that any members of the law firm or officers of Trinity Fairburn LLC? So this will give, I think, us an opportunity to be able to pose these questions, because I have some concerns through my research.
Okay. Thank you, Councilwoman Davis. Are there any other comments before I ask for a motion to table this item for Councilman Palin, are you asking for another 30 days to table?
Yeah, I mean, whatever seems reasonable for for all of us makes sense to me, you know.
Okay.
Mayor, I want to ask a question in reference to the procedure here. For us to be able to dialogue with the law firm that is representing Trinity Fairburn LLC, would that be able to take place during a council meeting? Could we have a discussion? Because I really would like that to happen too. I mean, to ask some questions, to clarify some things.
Mr. May, what's the procedure if we table this for another 30 days with a council member actually having conversations with the developer?
Well, Mayor, I think right now, if there are any questions, they can be asked now by council to whoever is on the phone. I know I see that Mr. Tillery is still on the phone. So okay. If council has any questions, because this is not a public hearing.
Right.
However, if council has any questions that they want to ask the applicant or their engineer and their attorney, they could do that right now if they want to, because it's open for discussion. Okay. So if you have a question that can be asked directly to them.
Okay. Council, would you all like to ask your questions tonight to Attorney Tillery and the engineer?
This is Councilwoman Davis. Since I have some questions and I want to do some further research, I would like to wait until we bring it back to council to ask those questions.
Oh, okay. Okay. Councilman Palin, are you of the same opinion?
Yeah, I think that's probably a reasonable request. And because there is information that needs to be shared, and I'm in agreement with what Ms. Davis just said. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other questions before I Mayor call for a motion?
Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Yes, ma'am. Is Ms. Peaks, is it possible to give us an idea of what the plans are for that? Is it like for a restaurant or something along those lines, the reason they're wanting to break it up like they are?
From my understanding and information that has been provided to the Community Development Department, the owner is subdividing the property into three parcels for future development. The Tractor Supply Store has already gone through conceptual plan approval. Their plans are in now for a land disturbance, which has been approved, but we have not had the land disturbance permit issued as of yet. And there's one particular parcel that has no tenant. At one time, Chipotle was trying to go there, but because of the distance requirement for drive-through restaurants, they no longer was going to go on that particular parcel. And therefore, they are now moving into the old Dairy Queen's location. And then on another track, we had a submission of a conceptual site plan for a Dollar General store that has not been approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. They have not even really been approved by staff. Staff is approving it this week to move forward next week to the Planning and Zoning Commission. But as our attorneys, as well as Warren Tillery, their law firm, has basically stated that land use is not connected to a subdivision. Subdivision is just that, it's subdividing parcels. As long as they meet the subdivision regulations, then the plat should be approved. They have met all of those requirements, and thus staff is recommending approval of the plat.
Do you know which track the Tractor Supply Place would go on?
It would go on track number one.
Number one, okay, gotcha. All right, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilwoman Portis Jones?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, so Mr. Tillery, you are representing the landowner, the developer, or Tractor Supply?
I'm representing Trinity Fairburn, who is purchasing the property from the current landowner. They've applied for the subdivision plat with the consent of that landowner. The purpose of the purchase is to develop it for a Tractor Supply. The other two tracks will be retained by the seller. What they do with it, I can't speak to. All I can speak to is that my client is intending to develop that one tract. Now, with the plat being, you know, not being approved, it holds up every aspect of that development in the process. And so that's why we would request that, since we meet the criteria for just the subdivision plat, that you approve it and allow the rest of the process to play out as it is in the ordinance related to land use. But that doesn't really get to the subdivision plat.
Okay, Ms. Jermaine, Attorney Jermaine. And hello, how are you? It's been a long time.
Very good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Are how do I put this question? Are there all three tracks dependent upon each other? Are we able to approve one and not another, or vice versa? Is that possible?
I believe the application before you, I don't know if Tarika would be able to do that. I don't know if the applicant wants that.
I believe the plat would need to be approved as it is shown in the final plat drawing. And the reason for that being, all we're basically asking council to do is to allow the subdivision of the entirety of it into the tracks as shown, you know, 1, 2, and 3. We're not asking for council to pass upon the use of any one of those tracks, just allowing the total acreage to be subdivided into three lots. So we don't really ever get to land use. What you'd be left with is, you know, tracks 1, 2, and 3. And then from there, there's a separate process to deal with land use items. And really the land use item that was kind of posed the last time that this was tabled 30 days ago was related to a potential Dollar General development that's not on the track that we're that my client is intending to develop. So it holds up his development of it in that process, which is running separately from anything else, just based on a potential use for one of the other two tracks that can all get dealt with in the process to determine land use. This is just the dimensions and land size, which all of them meet the requirements.
So, Mr. Tillery, quite frankly, that's what began this discussion in the first place. The land sizes, we thought it was odd, the configuration of the three. And so, quite frankly, that is the issue on the table. And so I agree with my colleagues that we do need to table this for further discussion and review. Because of the proposed land sizes, not land use, but land size.
Of course, Councilwoman Portis Jones, what staff has said tonight again is that the land use sizes and the criteria of those lots in relation to only that meet the ordinance. And so to say that there's a concern about the lot sizes when it does meet the ordinance and the criteria set forth in that ordinance already, is a bit problematic. And we've been tabled once before, and I don't know that there's been any kind of discussion for these questions since then. So it feels like we're headed toward being caught in a catch-22, by which every month I come back here, but it gets tabled or moved again. And so I know that Councilwoman Davis had some questions. The only question that I made a note of was she said that we're a registered agent, that all of that's very common. We are just the lawyer for the entity, and lawyers typically can serve as registered agents for that entity solely for administrative purposes. But that is the capacity that we're here in, is just lawyers representing that entity. If there's other questions, we have Will Avant on here too, one of the engineers. We'd be happy to talk to you about any questions you've got. But we would ask that you not table it again, because it was tabled last month. And so here we are a month later, and it looks like we may get tabled again, which kind of puts us in a position when you're doing development work where you've got certain pieces that need to fall into place. And the more that we have a delay on one piece, makes it so that at some point we basically either, if my client's going to have to make a decision on whether he wants to walk from the development side of this, or whether he wants to tell me to go challenge this delay in court, which I don't think is what anybody here wants. And I know my client wants to be a good neighbor and wants to be engaged with the city. He doesn't want to be adversarial to it. Wants to do high quality development in your neighborhood. The concerns that we have all heard have been related to potential development that the stage at which I'm not sure and I can't speak to, but potential development on the other tracks. And there's a totally separate process from that, but it's not the subdivision plat process.
Mr. Tillery, that's exactly the question I asked Attorney Tremaine and Ms. Peaks as well. Are the three subdivisions tied together, or can they be separated? At one moment, you're representing track one and the tractor supply. And then in the same breath, you're representing all three subdivisions. And so that's part of the confusion that we have here. And so I agree with my colleagues that we need some additional time for clarity and specificities on this. And here are some of the other reasons why. The area, there, Meadow Glen, it has a plan development ordinance with some restrictions on it. We also have the Highway 74 overlay with some restrictions on it. We are about to approve our comprehensive plan that talks about economic development and what it is that we want for our city and the vision that we have for our city. That's out there. And then we've got the economic development plan that we've talked about. So there are some conflicting issues, and all of those need to come together so that we have clarity about what it is that we, as a governing body, based on the conversations that we've had from the citizens we represent, what it is that we want for this city, and specifically for Highway 74. So I am calling for the vote. There's a motion on the floor, Mayor.
There's a, Mr. Palin, are you going to entertain that motion on the floor to table? Are we looking at 30 days?
I think what Patty is saying is to the point here. Let's sit down and sort this out. We're all a little bit confused. And rather than make a decision without additional information, I would suggest that we move forward with voting on this at some point in time, but later, you know, several council meetings down the road. That's all.
Okay. Well, we need to get a time frame. Councilwoman Portis-Jones. I'm sorry.
Say 30 days. Yeah.
Okay. So Councilman Palin has placed the motion on the floor that item number two, the approval of Highway 74 and Meadow Glen Parkway final plat be tabled for 30 days. Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
It has been seconded by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries 5-0. It's been tabled for 30 days. Meredith, are you still on the line?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. Sometime within the next week, a couple of days, we need to have a conversation. I know Randy's out of town right now. He should be coming back in shortly, so that we will probably need to get counsel and the attorneys together so that we can kind of figure out, and the folks over at Meadow Glen to come back, and let's have a broader conversation about this. Okay.
Sounds good, Mayor. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, Madam Clerk, next item.
Yes, ma'am. Item number three, Utilities Department, Mr. John Martin. Will Mayor and Council to approve task order number 144 with Integrated Science and Engineering for the 2021-2022 impaired water sampling of Whitewater Creek and Trickham Creek in the amount of $13,100.
Mr. Thompson, I'm sorry, Mr. Martin.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. How y'all doing?
Good afternoon.
What I'm asking for is approval for task order number 144 for the 2021-22 impaired water sampling of Whitewater and Trickham Creek for the annual MPDES report. As you know, we've entered into agreement, a master agreement with Integrated Science in August 14, 2017 for professional engineering consulting services. This TOF has been prepared is to assist the city of Fairburn with water quality sample in those two creeks. The city's NPDES phase one is for a stormwater permit, and the Metropolitan North Georgia Water Planning District requires Fairburn to perform this water quality monitoring in these waterways within the city every year. All the results from this will be provided in the annual water quality monitoring report and included in our 2021-2022 Phase 1 NPDES MS4 Annual Report. What staff is recommending that City Council approve this Task Order 144 with Integrated Science and Engineering for the 2021-2022 impaired water sampling of Whitewater Creek and Trickham Creek, and authorize the mayor to sign the task order in the amount of $13,100. Are there any questions, please?
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Yes, ma'am. Councilwoman.
Mr. Martin, when is, if this is approved, when will this task be completed and report submitted?
Okay. They will begin work immediately. And then task one, which is the water quality monitoring program, and task two, which is a microbial source tracing, it will be completed by April 30, 2022. And then the official report will be done by June the 15th, 2022.
June 15, 2022, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, your voice dropped off. Okay. All right. Mayor, I'd like to ask, could you provide council with a briefing on the Water Authority, the activity there, and the integration of these creeks, or proposed integration into these of these creeks into that whole schema of the Water Authority?
I will ask Chair of the Middle Chattahoochee Sewer and Water Authority. I'll ask our consultants and engineers to come to our next meeting, which is November the 8th, and give us a briefing.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're
and
welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
You're welcome. Mayor Jason Ray is on for Integrated Science, is available for any immediate question.
Okay. Council members, do you have any questions to Mr. Martin or to Jason concerning this water sampling of Whitewater and Trickham Creek? Okay, Mr. Martin, I don't hear any. So is there a motion on the floor to approve?
So moved, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Motion made by Councilwoman Portis Jones. Is there a second?
Second. Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0. The next item on the agenda, Mr. Martin, you have item number 4, Madam Clerk.
Yes, ma'am. Agenda item 4, Utilities Department, Mr. John Martin. For Mayor and Council to approve task order number 145 with Integrated Science and Engineering for the 2021-2022 NPDES Phase 1 compliance activities in the amount of $22,870.
Mayor and Council, this here is another task order that was entered to a master service agreement with Integrated Science on the same appropriate date of August the 14th, 2020, 2017. The agreement was to, with this task order, is to conduct the Phase 1 MS4 inspections of the storm drain structures in Deep Creek watershed. Also, it required to inspect 20% of our industrial facilities, document their conditions, and produce the required reports for the same MS4 report. Also within that scope of work, there are particular tasks that must be performed. One is the listing for some of the stormwater documentation, and that's to assist it on a monthly basis, starting in January of 2022. The other will be the city's approved stormwater management plan, keeping it in with fines with the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System for our permit, and also require all immediate inspections of our catch basins, storm pipes, and ditches in all these sections. And furthermore, with that, we have our dry weather screening. which is to complete the dry weather screening on 20% of the total number of outfalls within the city limits. This here will also go with source tracing for non-storm water discharges, so they'll be able to identify those sources. And within the interim, they also will be doing the industrial inspections and also complete the phase one annual report. And what we're recommending, staff recommends that the city council approve task order 145 with integrated signs for the 2021-2022 impaired water sampling of white of phase one, excuse me, for the 2021-2022 MPDES phase one compliance activities, and authorize the mayor to sign the task order in the amount of $22,870. Are there any questions?
Mr. Martin, I have a question. Is this also concerning Whitewater and Trickum Creek?
This is the Deep Creek watershed, and what it entails is our personal inspections within the city limits.
Okay.
As well as...
I got you.
Okay.
I have a question, Mayor.
Is that Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Martin, I see here that annually they do perform 20% of the inspections of our industrial. And like you already identified six sites. The previous year, the six sites that were looked at, did all of those reports come back satisfactory?
From my understanding, they have. They always send the comments back. But I do have Jason Ray that can outline the details on that for you, Councilman Whitmore.
Okay,
Jason, are you on the line?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Okay, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, Councilman. Yeah, the inspections that were completed last year for the industrial inspections, that we did not receive any comments back related to those inspections from EPD. So they were satisfactory in EPD's eyes.
Okay. And then also, how are we selecting the six sites that we're going to be doing for this upcoming period?
So at the beginning, so the way the stormwater, the city stormwater permit runs is it runs in a 5-year cycle. So the state of Georgia puts out a list of industrial sites of companies that have filed with the state for being an industrial site. And we look at that list annually to see if any industries have popped up on it. And so we have a list that we start off with at the beginning of the 5-year cycle, and we just do 20% a year to achieve 100%, which is required by the city stormwater permit.
So to date, all of our industrial sites have been inspected?
Not for this 5-year cycle.
Thank you, Mayor.
Did you get your answer, Mr. Whitmore? I think Jason said not for the 5-year cycle they've been inspected.
Right. So we still have another 20%, or is it 20-30% that has not been inspected, sir?
Another 40%, and then it'll be completed, and then you start over again for another 5 years, and it just keeps working like that.
Okay, so we're going into the fourth year, and then that fifth year would be the other 20%, correct?
Yes, sir. And then you'll go into another 5 years, and then you have to do 100% every 5 years. So you're looking at each industry once every 5 years.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Council, the floor is still open for any questions to Mr. Martin concerning the task order number 145. Hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve item number 4?
So moved, Council.
Pro Tem Heath, so moved.
Okay, I'll take the motion to approve from Mayor Pro Tem Heath and seconded by Councilman James Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Okay. Madam Clerk, item number 5.
Agenda item 5, community development, Mr. Lester Thompson. For Mayor and Council to approve the change order number 4, downtown LCI streetscape project for an amount of $12,972.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
During their construction activities, the contractor for the downtown LCI streetscape project discovered a conflict with an existing drainage system and a proposed drainage structure and the wall footing for proposed wall E and proposed steps to be installed at the former Smith Street underpass. In response to RFI submitted by the contractor, the design consultant instructed the contractor to demolish the existing vine junction box and replace it with a section of similar pipe using concrete collars to connect the remaining pipes. The contractor's response to those instructions resulted in the submission of change order proposal number 4 for an amount of $12,972. In order to resolve this conflict, change order number 4 must be approved. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve change order number 4 for the downtown LCI streetscape project for an amount of $12,972. Any questions?
I have Councilwoman Portis Jones. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
I have an overall question regarding the next 3 or 4 items because they are change orders relative to LCI. And all of them say that the funding source for those change orders is the LCI grant. And correct me if I'm wrong, I thought the grant was only $100,000. Is that true or no?
No, that's not true.
Okay, how much was it or is it?
The LCI grant was over $3 million. I think you're talking about the study. The study was about $100,000, but this is the actual LCI implementation grant for the downtown LCI streetscape project.
And what was the source of that grant?
The source of the grant is from the Georgia Department of Transportation. Well, from the Federal Highway Administration by way of the Georgia Department of Transportation. It's an 80-20 split. We pay 20% of it, and the Federal Highway Administration pays. We are reimbursed 80% of that grant amount by the Federal Highway Administration.
Okay. And so these are all change orders. So is this an increased cost on the project?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So approximately what's that total of the 3 change orders that you've submitted?
A little over 200 and some thousand.
A little over 200,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's in addition to our 20% of the 3 million.
Yeah, 3.
Is that correct? Uh-huh.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Then what is the source of the dollars for our 20% split? And if these are increasing costs, how can you say it's coming from the grant and not from our budget?
How can I say it's coming?
You said that you said the source.
It's coming from the grant line item, which has adequate funding in it. But the 20% split originated from the general funds. And so that would have to be maybe a mid-year adjustment to account for that.
Okay, mid-year just so we did not account for it in the budget process. Well, no, I mean, Discovery Task Force.
For change orders.
Increased costs, right. Okay. And what's the time frame for the the 80-20 split? Do we receive the 80%, or what's the time frame for the 80%?
It's ongoing. We've been doing reimbursements every time we get a pay application. Once we pay it, we provide the documentation. We do a reimbursement request to Georgia Department of Transportation. We receive reimbursement for that up till we get to the maximum amount, which is at 80%. And then okay. The city will cover the remaining amount.
Okay. All right. So is Mr. Taylor on the line?
I'm not sure. He may have left at 6 o'clock because he didn't have
any items.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I will just ask for an accounting of the first dollar spent on this project. You say it's been ongoing, and I can't remember when did it start. So if you can provide me with an accounting of when it started. And any change orders that we've done in the past year or two or however long it has been, and include then these costs that you're proposing here tonight. So if you could provide council that information, that would be most helpful.
The project's been going on for a little over a year. And collectively, let me see what the balance is. Total to date is $3,441,990.12. And we've been reimbursed about $3.2 million.
Okay, so that's more than 80% then.
So moving forward, and the remaining balance would be non-reimbursable. It would be out of our 20% share.
Okay. All right, then the budget line item impact is misleading then. So I'm glad I asked that question. And so can we clear that up for the future? Because that really is not, those are not grant dollars. Those are coming out of our general fund budget. And we want to make sure that that's clear.
It's coming out of the LCI account.
Yeah, but it's still general fund. But we transferred dollars over there to account for it. We're not getting reimbursed. You just said we've been 100% reimbursed. So every dollar we spend now comes out of our budget.
Yeah, let me give you the information. I don't want to speak incorrect.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The budget now, it says we have about $2,333,086.17 remaining in the budget for that. So it's
out of control. I understand, Mr. Thompson, but that's a different issue than the source of those dollars, which is what I'm asking about. Okay. Yes, the money has been allocated into that line item for you to expend those dollars specifically for that project, which is what is required. But I am asking about the source of those dollars, which you've already said. We've been reimbursed the 80% from Georgia DOT. And for every subsequent dollar we spend, that is now coming out of the city's coffers. I don't know whether that's the general fund or another source of fund, but nonetheless, it is not a grant dollar. And so that's what I'm asking for, an accounting of that. So Mayor, if you would ask Mr. Taylor to provide that information to us, please.
He will.
All right, thank you.
On the next three items. Mr. Thompson, we'll talk tomorrow morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Council, do you have any other questions for Mr. Thompson concerning item number 5? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion on the floor to approve?
Mayor Pro Tem Heath, so moved.
Motion has been made by Mayor Pro Tem Heath. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Whitmore.
Seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries 5-0. Next item, Madam Clerk. Item number 6. She's probably can't get unmuted. So let me go with item number 6 for Mayor and Council to approve the change order number 5 downtown LCI streetscape project for an amount of $47,600. Mr. Thompson.
Yes, ma'am. The purpose of this agenda item is to approve task order number 5. Let me just clear something. On this, in the project scope for the downtown LCI streetscape project, it includes the rehabilitation of the former Smith Street underpass to include a pedestrian walkway and plaza space. It will also include a brick staircase, ADA ramps, and aesthetic improvements to the underpass to include painting. Over the last few years, we've received several complaints about the appearance of the existing underpasses at State Route 92 and Cole Street. So since they were painting the former Smith Street underpass, staff thought it might be a good idea or a good opportunity to address the aesthetic appearance of the State Route 92 and the Cole Street underpass as well, to give a more complete look for downtown, to clean up all of downtown while we were doing it. So this is purely optional. So I want to put that out there, but I made a request to the contractor to take advantage of this opportunity. And they came back with a change order proposal to paint those underpasses for an amount of $47,600. And that is the same amount they have in the existing contract at $23,800 a piece. So that's where the $47,600 comes from. So with that being said, staff recommends approval of change order number 5 for the downtown LCI streetscape project for $47,600. Any questions?
So, Mr. Thompson, I'll come
go ahead,
back.
Mayor.
Thank you. I'll come back. So you said that this is going to include that brick staircase and the ADA ramp that we need over on that area?
No. The brick staircase is currently in the LCI streetscape project. You know, we're converting that to a pedestrian plaza. It's going to have a ramp, staircase, and all of that. But it also is going to paint the hidden Smith Street underpass.
Okay.
So they have that captured in their scope to paint that underpass. So
okay,
I'm thinking about, you know, my request is to, while they're doing that, paint the other two underpasses as well. The one that you passed through coming from 92.
Right.
You know the condition of that one. I don't have to paint that out to you guys. It's in pretty bad shape. And the one at Cole Street as well. So it's an opportunity to take care of both of those other two. So all three will be painted at the same time and give a nice harmonious appearance to downtown. So that's kind of what I was trying to do. But this is truly optional. So, I mean, it was an opportunity, so I wanted to take advantage of it. But
Councilwoman Davis.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Thompson.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, why was this not considered when we were doing the pricing out the LCI? Because the additional one, it is no question it needs to be painted. Why was not considered additionally in the beginning? Because if you're doing the LCI downtown, that horrible looking structure is downtown. I mean, prominently placed downtown. So why did we wait so long to think about doing that instead of doing that in the beginning of the LCI? Am I making sense or?
Oh, you're making sense.
Okay. Just
those two underpasses, the ones that I'm talking about now are
I'm sorry.
Outside the footprint of the LCI streetscape project. They were never in the footprint of the LCI, even though they're downtown, they were never in the footprint of it, of the downtown LCI streetscape project. The limits of that project stops right there at that corner. So I'm just trying to encompass those other two underpasses since they are downtown.
Okay.
So the environmental review and none of that stuff, no design or anything like that was done on these two underpasses, but I thought it may be a good opportunity to have those painted to make them look more aesthetically pleasing. So that's the only reason.
Okay. Explain to me, we have, you've notated here that this amount of $23,008 is already existing in the unit price.
Yes.
It's already in the contract? Is it already in the contract?
For the rehab, for the rehab of the Smith Street underpass, yes, it is. If you go to that in your packet,
mm-hmm. I see it. Page item code, you highlighted it, yeah.
Ma'am, so that's what that is for the paint rehabilitation of the Smith Street underpass.
Okay, so you're including the one you already have?
That's already captured.
It's already captured, right. But that's
so this
double.
Is for the other two.
This okay.
is the one in 92 and the
okay,
and the
gotcha. Okay, for two. The other two.
Yes,
okay.
ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Mm-hmm. This is one comment, Mayor.
Yes, Councilman Whitmore.
Mr. Thompson, I just want to thank you because I think this is an opportunity for us to uniformly take care of those areas so that when the streetscape is completed, everything is looking nice going through our downtown area. But I do have one question for you, and that question would be, are we still on schedule for completion of the streetscape by 10/31?
No.
No, sir, we're not.
Okay, so what's the new estimated completion date now?
November.
Yes. End of November.
End of November.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome. But 29, hopefully everything on West Broad Street, with the exception of the work that's going to be done on the underpass, should be completed. They're paving it right now. We do have another change order that's coming up on the next agenda item. So with the exception of that intersection as well, should that pass, we'll be still under construction or reconstruction. So want to be transparent about the timing of project completion.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
And I just want council to also realize, Mr. Thompson, and you may want to piggyback that because of the excessive rain days that we've had, that's put us back a great deal of time.
Yes, ma'am, it has. The contractors put in for project delays based on the available rain days, and they're definitely warranted. So we're going to approve those based on that submission.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Thompson with the item number 6 for change order number 5? Is there a motion on the floor to approve?
I'll move, Councilman Whitmore.
Motion has been made by Councilman Whitmore. Is there a second?
Councilwoman Davis.
It has been seconded by Councilwoman Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Mr. Thompson, you have the next item on the agenda. Is Ms. Moss back on the line?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'm sorry. I was having some difficulties with my speaker.
Okay. Can you take item number 7?
Certainly. Community Development, Mr. Lester Thompson, for Mayor and Council to approve change order number 6 on the downtown LCI streetscape project for an amount of $148,987.45.
Mr. Thompson.
Yes, ma'am. The downtown LCI streetscape project scope includes the modification of the intersection of West Broad Street and West Hamilton Street to accommodate the installation of the pedestrian plazas, the removal of the southbound right turn lane from West Broad Street onto West Hamilton Street, the reduction of the 35-foot radii at West Hamilton Street to 25 feet, and the reduction of the width of the travel lane on West Hamilton Street from 12 feet to 11 feet. Since these elements were implemented, the city has received several complaints regarding the change in access on the West Hamilton Street from West Broad Street. As a result, we requested the design consultant revise the plans to increase the turning radii from 25 feet back to 35 feet. this also included the adjustments of, this also includes the adjustments of the curb, the grass strip, the concrete sidewalk and banding, the handicap ramps, the interior benches, and the limits of the interior pavers. There are also some utility adjustments that must take place in relation to the concrete and grass in order to make this revision. Upon completion of the plan revision, the contractor was asked to provide a change order proposal to implement these plan revisions. This resulted in the submission of the change order request proposal for an amount of $148,987.45. In order to move forward with these changes, this change order must be approved. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve change order number 6 for the downtown LCI Streetscape project for an amount of $148,987.45. Any questions?
Council members, let me give you a little background. Lester has given you some before we open the floor up for discussion. When those curb cuts was done, there was one day that myself and Tarika went over to Casablanca, and we stayed probably about an hour or two just watching cars make that turn. And it is very, very tight. I have gotten at least 10 or 15 claims of people hitting that curve and scratching up their tires or just damaging their tires. So when we initially approved that curve there, maybe on paper, it looked okay, but actually in reality, it's just too close. Even when I'm driving my sedan, I have to be very careful. And if I'm in the truck, I have to be more careful because it is just so small. And so we're actually having a lot of issues with those truckers coming in off of 92 coming down. So we're having code enforcement sit out and start ticketing them because they are tearing up the curve there. So, from just sitting over at Casablanca and watching how many times people would have to stop to let a car pass to make that turn right there at Oz, this is badly needed. And I don't know if any of you all have experienced that or had any folks call you and complain about it, but we've sent some of our claims to our insurance adjusters because it was just out too far. And so we're still having issues with it. So I just want to put that on the table and let you know that, I consider myself a good driver, but I'm very careful when I come through there because it's just too tight. So the floor is open for any comments from council members.
Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilwoman Davis. My concern with this change order, first, it's a lot of money. Whether we have the money, if it's grant money, whatever, it's a lot of money for a change order. And my question is, I'm not trying to be smart or anything about this question, but I am concerned is why did we do our due diligence when we made these suggestions and curve cuts and everything initially? Did we actually figure out or determine or do something to realize that that was going to be difficult? That turn, the way it is set up and it was initially set up, was going to be difficult or cause problems, for a change order to be almost $149,000. And I know we're talking about millions of dollars, but I just need some explanations on that. Why didn't we have the plan to do those curb cuts initially without having some kind of consideration of how tight the turn was going to be or what happened?
That's my question. I think they designed it to function, frankly, as it is functioning. It was designed to kind of discourage truckers from turning down West Campbellton, because that section of West Campbellton, is trucks are not permitted to go there. So it's supposed to be to discourage that turning movement. They did traffic modeling to show that it will accommodate a regular vehicle, but truck traffic is supposed to discourage. So it's serves a dual purpose, to discourage truck traffic and to act as a traffic calming method. So that's why it was reduced from a 35-foot radius to a 25-foot radius. And that was done over several years of planning before my time to make Fairman of kind of a walkable area, make it, create a sense of place. So that's what the overall goal was. But it has some undesired consequences since it's been implemented. So that's why we're trying to address that at this time. So I don't know if that's answered your question, but that's the reasons for it.
And Councilwoman Davis, I don't remember whether or not you were on council when we were having all of those community engagement meetings, when we were actually talking about the downtown streetscape and what it would look like. And, I can't tell by looking at a picture whether it's going to be workable or not. I just go with what the professionals tell me. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that it does not work. And we've had over 15 claims. And some people are trying to get over now on some of those claims, but some of them were legitimate. So even though we had these community engagements and we looked at the plans, sometimes plans on paper, once they become a reality, just don't work. And so this just does not work. And like Lester said, it was actually intended to keep those truckers out. That's the hardest thing that we're having to deal with right now, are those truckers coming off of 92, coming down West Campbellton and trying to make that turn right there at Oz. Either most of the time they're trying to make a right-hand turn. They don't usually go left. They usually go right. Mm-hmm. And so we're having some big issues there with just cars passing. A lot of cars mm-hmm. will just stop. They'll just stop and mm-hmm. wait for cars to come out before they'll come in if they're not really a good driver, that they can make that turn.
Yeah. Yeah. What I was referring to was not the people, citizens looking at the plans. I'm talking about the professionals that we rely on and that we pay, to look at plans and guide us as to what's the best thing. That's what I was referring to.
No, they looked at it in detail, and in their professional opinion, it's working as it's designed to work. Slow traffic down. It accommodates regular vehicles, but it doesn't accommodate trucks making that illegal turn there, because that coming from State Route 14, which is West Broad Street, turning on to West Hamilton Street, is really an illegal turn by a truck. But and for larger passenger vehicles, it may be kind of difficult. May take some adjustment. May take some getting used to. But we've been hearing a lot of complaints, so this is the city's attempt to address those complaints and make some modifications to accommodate that right turn movement.
Okay. Did you mention anything about utilities had to be changed, or some adjustment on utilities with this change order?
Yeah, there's going to have to be some, because all that stuff has already been constructed. So we're going to have, it's been modified in the revision to slide some stuff back, the pedestrian signal there is going to have to be moved, so a lot of things, the seat, the benches, the granite benches are going to have to be relocated to accommodate that. So it's going to have to, doesn't come without a cost and without, tearing up some stuff we just constructed. But as the mayor said, I think it's necessary to open that back up to accommodate that right turn movement for the citizens of Fairbanks.
So another question, does the grant money go along with the cost of utilities, readjusting utilities and stuff like that? Or does that have to come out of the general fund?
Yeah, this would be beyond the grant. I mean,
the utility cost.
This is the change order period. This is
coming out of.
This is okay, in addition to, yeah.
Oh, this is a budget impact. I see. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is a budget impact. I mean, it's coming out of that line item, but it's going to have to be accounted for eventually. I'm assuming with a mid-year adjustment to account for all of these change orders. What the grant covered is for what was in the initial proposal, 80% of that.
Right.
With the exception of the City of Atlanta piece.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Council, the floor is still open.
Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think just for history's sake, we kind of ran into the same situation over there by the police station when we built this senior housing back there. And when you were turning off of 29 with that center aisle there, it was just so far out. People were turning in and hitting their tires as well. And we had to go in and modify them. But I think now that we have some history, if we have any future construction that's going to be working on curb cuts and everything else, we'll understand that we need to really look at the radii and ensure that we have enough, that we won't have to come back and redo something after we have already performed it. But again, I've witnessed some damages being occurred with that corner section as well, and actually walked it, and we walked it together. So you actually see the need for it, and this is the perfect time to address it prior to the completion of the LCI streetscape.
Sir.
That's it for me, Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Whitmore. Any other questions or comments concerning agenda item number 7. May I have a motion on the floor to approve, please?
Mayor Pro Tem Hayes, so moved.
Councilman Whitmore, second.
The motion has been made by Mayor Pro Tem Heath and seconded by Councilman Whitmore. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. The last item on the agenda tonight is 842, is from the office of Turner, Ross, and Germain. And Meredith Germain is going to be presenting this agenda item. Ms. Moss, could you read agenda item number 8?
Certainly. For Mayor and Council to discuss and consider the adoption of the ordinance to continue city's mask mandate in response to COVID-19 transmission data.
Thank you, everyone. Just some history on this. On July 8th, 2020, the Mayor and City Council adopted an ordinance which was in response to the COVID-19 health emergency that imposed a requirement with various exceptions that individuals entering business establishments within the city of Fairburn be required to wear a mask to slow the spread of COVID-19. This ordinance was originally programmed to remain in place so long as there was a state of emergency in place in Georgia regarding COVID-19. As of today, there is no longer in place in Georgia by executive order of the governor any declaration of an emergency regarding COVID-19 health threat. On August 23rd, 2021, Mayor and City Council voted to continue the city's mask mandate ordinance until further review on October 11th, 2021. This issue was not brought back for review on October 11th, 2021, and in effect, the ordinance technically expired. Therefore, it is being brought back to Mayor and City Council tonight, so that Mayor and City Council can decide whether to reinstitute the mask requirement. According to the CDC, for the time period between October 12th and October 18th, 2021, the transmission rate of COVID-19 in Fulton County, including variants, was considered substantial, which is the next rate down from high, which was the case in August of 2021. The CDC advises, however, that everyone in Fulton County, Georgia should wear a mask in public indoor settings. Mask requirements vary from place to place. So right now it is up for discussion and consideration to readopt the mask ordinance. Are there any questions?
Comments, questions, comments, counsel on the mask mandate? So everybody wants to wear a mask? Okay.
We're required to wear one.
I'm going to wear one whether or not I'm required or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the data dictates. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does council have any discussion on it, Ms. Davis?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. I wanted to know, is there an end date to this? Number one. The other thing I want to ask in reference to section two of it, all commercial establishments that's open to the general public, including restaurants and stuff. Have we had any conversations with the business people here in Fairburn as to what their take on this are in reference to a requirement for them to make sure everybody in their facility come in with a mask unless they're eating or drinking? And the other thing is, how do we, you know, patrol this if people are doing it, not doing it? And those are some things I just want to throw out.
Well, let me tell you, Ms. Davis, that most of the businesses here in Fairburn are for continued use of the mask.
Okay, great.
Yes. I haven't been in a business yet that still doesn't have a sign up or require you to have a mask on unless you're eating or drinking. Mm-hmm. So we haven't gotten any pushback from any of our businesses about it.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm going to wear my mask, you know, regardless, but I was just wondering, you know, and is there an end date to this, or is it just forever?
There is not an end date to this.
I didn't see one. Yeah. Okay. Do we need one from a legal point, or I mean, do we need an end date or just...
I don't believe we need one. I think if there comes a point in time where you want to end it, then you can come back and change the ordinance.
Okay.
And council members, I just want to give you just a little more information. Talking with our first responders, the fire department, police department, Chief Mathis and I had a conversation last week, Chief Robinson and I, concerning their folks having taken the vaccine. I can tell you that the police officers nor the firemen are taking the vaccine. Most of them are unvaccinated.
Mm.
Most of them are unvaccinated here, and they're with the public all the time. You know, walking up to cars, and they don't have masks on. And so, Georgia law enforcement agencies are still hesitant about requiring officers to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And that was one of the news reports this afternoon in AJC. So they're just not taking it. They just don't want to take it.
I know there are some cities that's requiring their officers to do it, and they are, you know, fighting back that they don't want to.
Right.
Yeah. So Chicago, I think, is one of those cities.
This new variant that's coming out, If it forces us into another situation where we're going to be close to another shutdown, it may be something that we have to visit mayor and council as far as any employee that works for the city, making sure they have the vaccine.
I totally agree with you, Councilman Whitmore. We can't afford to sit on the sideline and be casual about this. So this is worth us discussing and making some decisions.
You're exactly right, Councilwoman Portis Jones, because, you know, even here in City Hall, we did a poll just to see how many of our employees here in City Hall had been vaccinated and how many had not. And we were surprised to know that we had employees here that had not been vaccinated. And so we required them to wear a mask in the building, you know, more so than, you know, someone that has been vaccinated. Now, we do have employees in the building that still wear a mask and they are vaccinated. Mm-hmm. But those that's not vaccinated, they must wear a mask here in the building.
Yeah.
You know, and this is real.
You know,
COVID is real. And with the flu season coming upon us, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah.
So Mayor, I ask, can we put this issue on the next agenda? The mandate separate, or the item on the agenda tonight being separate from this issue that we're discussing about whether we should and what that would look like in terms of requiring our employees. So we need to have some discussion about that and make some decisions regarding that.
Okay, so you'd like to have something that put on the next agenda separate from this mandate that we have on tonight?
Yes, I would. Yes, okay. I would. We're in flu season right now. And as Councilman Whitmore said, the other variant is on the horizon. It is already broken out in some of the other countries. And it's just a matter of time that it will be headed our way. So this gives us a window to be proactive. So let's take advantage of that.
Okay. So we'll have it on the next agenda. And I think the next
meeting. Can I get some clarity on what we will have on the next agenda? Are we talking about masks?
We're going to have a discussion. A discussion on the next agenda. Council will have a discussion on city employee requirements to get vaccinated.
Okay, this is vaccination. Okay, I just wanted some clarity. Okay.
In addition to that, Mayor, I think it would be wise to have our legal team kind of research that so we can make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do when we have this discussion. We can have everything before us and not prolong it.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then we'll go back and look at some cities and also other businesses that actually require them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of the jobs now are actually requiring that you be vaccinated before they'll even hire you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they're making it a requirement of the hiring process. So, you know, we'll put it on the next agenda for discussion.
Mayor, did you come up with a percentage as to who was vaccinated and those that were not? What did you share, a percentage of employees
In the city of Fairburn?
Yes.
In the city, we roughly have about 60% of the employees as vaccinated, about 40% or not.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Thank you.
And they have no plans to have it done.
All 40%?
They are adamant.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So, Council, are we looking at the adoption of this ordinance tonight? Is there any other discussion?
Yes.
Okay. Looks like we have a motion on the floor from Councilwoman Portis Jones to adopt the ordinance to continue the city's mask mandate.
Second.
And seconded by Councilwoman Linda J. Davis. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Okay, that's it for our agenda items tonight. We're going to go next to council comment. Councilman Palin, first in line.
Wouldn't surprise you that I don't have anything to say, would it?
No. Okay. Councilwoman Davis?
Yes, Mayor. My comments are going to be sort of like a question, two questions. I want to find out, when are we going to bring back to council for a discussion or a vote? There's two items that we have discussed in previous council meetings. One is the exemptions of the property tax. I did speak with, I can't remember his name, that's over his...
Adam Rose.
Adam Rose, I spoke with him. And I think that's been a couple of council meetings prior. I would like to have that brought back. And in addition to the weatherization that I spoke with, Mr. Martin was supposed to do that. And this is a federal funded program for our seniors, or for really anybody that meet the requirements of income, that their home would be completely weatherized. And so that hasn't come back. I haven't heard anything about that. So I would like those two things to follow up on those two items. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mayor Pro Tem Heath.
No comment.
Okay. Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones.
No comments generally speaking, but I do have a request as well. And that is, when we meet to discuss the economic development plan strategies for 74 that we tabled tonight, that we would be provided information regarding planned subdivisions, housing subdivisions. We've had numerous developments that have come at us. Some we've approved, some we haven't approved. And I just want to get a sense of how many are on the docket for approval. They've broken ground already here on Verlin B. Smith, you know, so that one's underway. The one off of White Mill Road that goes into Fairburn, that one's underway. And I think there are several more.
So we could just plenty of road.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So we've got a lot of subdivisions that are being developed, and just want to get a sense of what they all are, how many homes we're talking about, and then how we're ensuring the quality of those homes. And so if not during the time we talk about 74, some future date shortly after, to just get some sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilman Smallwood is not here tonight. Mr. Whitmore.
Yes, ma'am. A couple of things. First of all, I see the phone call from one of the business owners, and they were inquiring about the ordinance for the city in reference to the sale of beer and wine on Sunday. I'm talking about like your gas stations, places other than places that really serve food. And the comment that was made to me is that when their customers come in and they have to turn them away, they go down to Palmetto or they go to Union City. So they're missing out on an opportunity to sell those items, which also would increase tax revenue for the city. So I would ask that we kind of review that and bring that up for discussion so we can take a look at that and see if that's something that needs to be changed. Secondly, I would just like to say that the art and jazz concert that we had on Friday night was just extraordinarily great. The vendors that we had out there did a great job along with the performances, and there was nothing but positive accolades that was mentioned there as well as via social media. So I just wanted to thank all of staff that had a hand in assisting in that. I tell you, if you've been down there this year, it's been a production that looks like a professional production with the sound and lights and everything else. So we've been getting a lot of positive comments and people can't wait till next year. But we do have one more time to do it this year, and that would be for our Christmas tree lighting. So just want to just echo that and just say thank you to all the staff that assisted in that endeavor.
Okay, Mr. Whitmore, I don't have any comments for tonight. It's 9 o'clock. May I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Motion made by Councilwoman Davis. Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Seconded by Councilwoman Portis Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion stands approved. We are now adjourned. It's 9 o'clock p.m. You all have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.